Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're gonna get hit hard if you're playing against us.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty and the blonde bombshell.
Is that my boy Ron?
And Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, a.k.a. Moneybags, who had a decent night yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Clint, not as good with the parlay. Had a decent night yesterday. We'll get to the action that you all have today and see if... by the way, I just want to let you know, Clint said he was out earlier today, but we'll see if Tyler can get him. Because now I think... Hey, I think Tyler is cleared up to be able to take you $100 today. I don't know if it'd have to be $78.35 like it was yesterday. But let's first and foremost, 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And tonight, the Astros, really tonight here in about less than an hour, they're going to take on the San Diego Padres. The lineup tonight, Altuve, he is in. He's going to DH tonight. Yordan is still batting second in left field. Bregman behind him. Looks like Kyle Tucker has a night off because Diaz is hitting fourth behind Bregman. Singleton at first, Payne yet short. Hayward, who's starting to become a fixture there in right or in left field or in the outfield, one of the corners. He's in right field. Dubon at second base tonight, and then Jake Myers is in center field bat ninth. So that is the lineup tonight. Before we get to this game and Framber Valdez, who gets the ball tonight, and he has been humming as I look up at the screen and I see the leadoff hitter with his shoe off from last night's game. Tyler, What do you got? What do you got on the line tonight for the Astros?
As far as the Astros go, we're looking at running back, basically what we did yesterday. The odds are a little different, and obviously Hunter Brown, aka Diesel, he isn't pitching. But Framber Valdez over 4.5 Ks, lock it in. Astros over 3.5 runs, lock it in. And Yordan over 1.5 total bases, get that one in there. Win you some money.
Listen, the last 2 days, hell, the last 3 days, those strikeout numbers that they've had for Eric Geddy, Hunter Brown, the Diesel, and now Framber Valdez, they have looked very advantageous. I'm thinking, wow, 4.5.
Yeah, these guys don't strike out a lot.
A lot of swing and misses, and Framber has that devastating curveball where he gets a lot of people at. But damn, they know something. Because they have not been coming. I mean, I looked over there and I saw Diesel only had 3 strikeouts.
Yeah,
right there through 6, and I'm like, good God, okay, all right.
I don't think Diesel got one till the 4th.
Yeah, it was rough. So, Clint, you gonna jump in on any of this?
No. I'm gonna set this one out.
Man. Good job, man. Good scared man. Money, dude.
I'm gonna set this one out, man.
Good man. Don't let him.
Don't make
him,
money.
Don't let him.
Yeah,
try to
man.
Get you.
I'm on this team. Doesn't strike out much. I'm taking the over in a strikeout bet just doesn't seem like the.
LaGrasse's
two
got
nights
it.
In a row just doesn't seem like a great idea.
You know he'll get 8, and
you yeah, I might. Be
yeah, you keep betting. You eventually gonna hit it? Are you doubling your money? That's the key.
I think you every should. Time. I think you should think about parlaying those two again.
What the strikeout and the,
time.
And what, the strikeout and what?
Yordan's
bases. I'm good.
Smart man.
Framber's K's have jumped up to 5.
Good job. Oh, it jumped up to 5.
It's, 5.5.
Did you get it at 4.5?
I got it at 4.5.
Never mind.
Sit steady. That 1K got you. So instead of 5, you need 6.
Good. I'm good on that.
We parlaying.
There you go. Well, big one tonight, though. Framber, we'll see if he can continue to roll like he has rolled. I'm kind of looking at Diaz tonight because it seems like they have wanted to keep him in front of Bregman. In front of Bregman. Hell, he was hitting third in front of Tucker and Bregman in the first game. And it was something. When he came up in the 8th inning and that critical at bat and – like it was there to take the lead. And he had one of those impatient at-bats where it looked like he made the decision. We saw this some last year, and he's gotten better with it this year. But he looked like he made the decisions on what he was going. And it was crazy, Astros Twitter. How many people were just absolutely going insane with that at-bat? I saw John McClain say it was the worst at-bat of the season by any Astro. When you look at the situation, it just made me say, damn, I was sitting there thinking the whole time, God, it'd be better if Bregman was hitting right now in front of him than coming behind him. Now they were able to get away with it because of the wild pitch, but Diaz got to take better swings than that, especially if you're going to be hitting in front of any of the Altuve, Alvarez, Bregman, and Tucker. Gotta be able to come through with at the very least, Clint, better at bats than he had. He swung at a lot of pitches out of the zone. His two strikeouts came with pitches that were completely out of the zone.
He's one of them for me. And I believe that Diaz is obviously I think he's really good at the plate. Like the discipline that he's shown this year versus last year, the way in which you can tell he's trying to be a more complete hitter instead of just hitting for power. I believe that Diaz is a really good hitter. I want to see is when they do face better pitching, because you're going to get, obviously, in the playoffs, you're going to get the best the league has to offer.
And that was a playoff pitching.
Yes, and there's another one tonight, right? I mean, you that's what you're going to get. And I am anxious to see and kind of even look back at when he faced, let's say, the top 10 games where he was facing the best pitching, how did he do in 10 or 20 games, whatever that number is. So as the season comes to a close versus better pitching, I want to keep an eye on Diaz and are those quality at bats still there, or like you said, is he starting to chase too often because guys have his number?
You could just see and the point you made, veteran pitchers and playoff level pitchers with game plans.
Yep.
You could clearly see they used his aggressiveness against him in that at bat last night in the eighth. You could tell he wanted to go after it. He wanted to get the big hit. And I mean, and that last pitch he swung at, there's nothing more frustrating to watch than that last pitch he strung at. It never even appeared to look like a strike.
Yeah. And the pitch before that, he honestly should have been rung up. That was one of the 25 bad calls by the umpires last night. He definitely did not check his swing. He definitely went, and he definitely struck out, only to do so a pitch
and
later.
And they got him again with the same, even worse, even further out of the zone. And, that was something. So let's see if they can win this series tonight. The Yankees did help them last night with the Mariners. They did hold there with that division lead, but their magic number 7 right now. The Astros are looking to continue to make that march to the postseason.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. It was good to have our guy B. Scott in with us just now. Brevin George has been placed on the IR. Didn't know how long that would be. We know at least four weeks with IR. That's just what the number has to be at least. And we knew it was a knee thing, Clint. It was interesting to hear Brandon say it, you know, being at the facility, being around everybody, being out there talking to people, that it looks like this could be the year for Brevin Jordan. So that is, and the way people are talking, heartbroken, and what kind of season they thought he was primed to have, that does match that. So this could be, Clint, more than just a 4 to 6 week thing. This could be the rest of the season for Brevin George.
Yeah, it seems like it. It seems like it's going to be a lot longer than just a handful of games. I mean, it seems like the way that D'Amico Rines was talking, the way that C.J. Stroud was talking, that it's a longer-term deal. And it explains that the Texans have officially signed to the practice squad Irv Smith Jr. Most folks out there remember him in his Alabama days. He got drafted in a second round, I believe it was, by Minnesota. He's bounced around. I think he's been with the Cincinnati Bengals, as well as, you said, the Kansas City Chiefs. I think he's been with a handful of teams, a couple of which have the same system that Houston's running. And so he should have some familiarity with the offense and the terminology, and he should be able to pick it up and be able to play to some degree this weekend if need be with Cade Stover and Dalton Schultz. Obviously, it's not a necessity. But at some point in time over the next handful of weeks, he's going to be needed to be ready to play. So I would expect that to happen sooner rather than later. But, yeah, Brevin Jordan, it seems like it's going to be a little longer than just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll see. Unfortunate, and we'll see what the Texans do with that. As you said, they've signed Irv Smith Jr. We'll see if this changes how they handle things with Cade Stover and Dalton Schultz at all. But he's going to be out for at least extended period of time. And the injury report came out today, and it was interesting. A lot of DMPs and the major ones. Nico Collins did practice hip and foot. Foley, Fadakasi, he didn't practice with the shoulder. Joe Mixon, a big one there, didn't practice with the ankle. As B. Scott said earlier, they're still holding out hope. Those are the words from D'Amico Ryans, that Joe Mixon's able to return this week. Jarrett Patterson with the calf didn't practice. Damian Pierce with the hamstring didn't practice. And then Juice Scruggs did not practice. MJ Stewart, who hadn't practiced all season, the first 2 weeks, was limited in practice today. So maybe he's moving forward to getting on the field. But the big news is, and what we're hearing and how people are talking, it looks like the Texans could be down to Kendrick Green, their third-string center, in this game. And I do feel like last week, Jarrett Patterson, there were some struggles there when you compare him to what Juice Scruggs did the week before. So that is one to watch. Their top two centers may not play in this game coming up.
Top two centers, top two running backs. Yep. The run game could look significantly different. I mean, look, Dalton Schultz is even on here. He practiced in a limited role today. So one
like
of your
that.
Tight ends is completely out. The other one's a rookie, and Dalton Schultz has got an ankle. So they've got some issues they got to get through. We'll keep an eye on this report. Tomorrow will be a big day for the Texans, obviously, and to see who can get back on the field. I'll be honest with you. You know, Joe Mixon's situation, unless it's a high ankle sprain, I'd be surprised if in 2024 the treatment these guys can get, the fact that he did go back in the game, so it obviously wasn't broken. It wasn't one of those high ankle sprains where it might as well be broken. I would be surprised if Joe Mixon doesn't at least try to go. Now, he may be a little tender in the game, but I'd be surprised if he didn't go.
Yeah, we'll see there with Joe Mixon and the rest of the crew. But the center position, that's the one to really, really keep an eye on.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, couple of injury notes in the NFL with contenders. Let's start in Kansas City with the Chiefs. Isaiah Pacheco underwent a successful surgery today. There was a fracture, very much like Ben's fibula and an ankle area, but they had successful surgery today, and they continue to say the timeline, 6 to 8 weeks. As we also know, they lost Hollywood Brown, who they say the timeline is 2.5 to 3 months with him being out, so potentially December when he comes back. Those are Hollywood Brown was their biggest offseason pickup on the offensive side of the ball, and Isaiah Pacheco was a guy they thought would maybe take a big step forward, and not a lot behind him. Hell, they had to go sign Kareem Hunt, who was on the streets, to add to their running back room, and Shamaje Perine, who they just signed right before the season started. It's interesting. They're still a 3.5-point favorite on the road at Atlanta against a team who just beat Philadelphia on the road, an NFC power. When you look at these two big blows that are long, extended period of time, do you have concern that the Chiefs may struggle in this situation?
No, I don't have one bit
even
of
with
concern.
Those two weapons.
Look, I mean, I know the Hollywood Brown thing is a name and the. But the I'll be honest with you, they don't need him. I mean, were these as good, if not better, already? Obviously, you still got Kelsey. Clearly, you still got Rashee Rice. I mean, they got dudes. The Pacheco thing is interesting because I think the run game will be fine in Kansas City because clearly you just watch them play and Pacheco's a good back, and I'm not minimizing his efforts by any means. But there's opportunities in that run game. I mean, Kareem or whoever or P. Ryan or whoever, I would imagine, will run the football just as effectively as Pacheco did. But there is something there about his juice.
Yeah.
Physicality too, but his juice and energy, it's even for a young dude, it's still one of those that it's got to be contagious. I mean, for such a cool, calm, collected group to have a guy that's a little bit hair on fire – I would imagine is a good thing. So you're gonna you lose that, but I think they'll run it fine. I think Hollywood Brown is really to me a non-factor. Him not being there with this group right now, the Pacheco thing's gonna hurt a bit, but I think they'll be fine.
It's interesting, like a team like that, and I've heard this from the national people and even local people. Not a lot of people. When you sense, all right, man, you're gonna lose. Coming into the year, your most experienced wide receiver in Hollywood Brown, and your running back with not a lot of great behind him, and people just don't really seem like that. Hey, man, the Chiefs are going to take a step back. I've seen at least topics on the 49ers who are losing, you know, who are losing Debo for a while and Christian McCaffrey for a while, and there is legit concern about what they're going to do, but I think it just shows the power.
Those are so much. Those are players on a different level. But those are also
the power of Mahomes and I think Andy Reid.
Yeah, I mean those even players. With Shanahan, those players are the identity of San Francisco. I mean, I'm not saying anybody that know. I mean, Pat and Kelsey are the identity of that offense. And so as long as those guys are out there with a good supporting cast, which they'd still have some other weapons. I think
the Pacheco thing though, a team that is not looked at as real physical and hasn't been, he has added that nature. That may be something, but we'll see moving forward. All right, coming up, we were talking about the tight ends and the loss of Brevin Jordan. I want to get your thoughts on what we've seen from that position. Do they need this position to pick up for this offense to improve? Do they need their tight ends? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Remember, tomorrow is Thirsty Thursday. You can come out and hang out with us. And we'll be at this Buffalo Wild Wings location in Tomball. We'll be there the next couple of weeks. And go to 610, go to sportsradio610.com, and you can check out the sites, the schedule for where we will be each and every Thursday and Friday. Or you can hunt it down as we've retweeted it, all of us, not only on the station page on Twitter, but we've also done it individually. So to find out exactly where it is that we're going to be, we'll be in Tomball coming up tomorrow, Thirsty Thursday, and we're not coming empty-handed. You got a chance to win multiple prizes, and Bud Light is the one hooking you up. This is courtesy of Bud Light. Multiple prizes, including a pair of tickets and tailgate wristbands from Bud Light. A pair of tickets, tailgate wristbands from Bud Light for the Texans-Jags game. So there are tickets there. There are gift cards. There are cooler chairs that Bud Light's giving away. I just now seen a photo of it. It is usable. It is a fun little
absolutely.
Tool.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's absolute money. I didn't know if it was a cooler and a chair because Bud Light has given that away as well. I didn't know if it was just a cooler because Bud Light has given that away as well. Now there's a cooler chair combo. Pretty cool little concept.
Like you can look at, like you can flip that cooler over. You got some cup holders there.
Yep. Yeah. You can use it any way you'd like. Yeah, it's a pretty solid little deal. Did you talk about the $225 gift cards? It's going to be absolute money. Tickets and the wristbands to the tailgate.
Yep. Texans Jags. So come on out. Hang out with us as we have a little Thirsty Thursday tomorrow. All right. The Brevin Jordan thing got me thinking overall with this position, this tight ends position, Clint. And we've watched. They have not really been involved that much. Dalton Schultz is off to a slow start this year. And Brevin Jordan, we was in there and Stover. The big play last week, Stover on the 4th-and-1 that Bobby Slowick.
Great call.
Great call. And Bobby Slowick kind of schemed that one up and got a big play from Cade Stover. And he was coming from the fullback position on that play. Anyway, but right now, thus far, Clint, the tight ends, and that is Schultz, Brevin Jordan, who obviously is on the IR now, and then Cade Stover, they got 7 receptions for 58 yards on 10 targets between the three of them so far this year. And I think Dalton Schultz was a pretty big part of the offense last year. Now, We had discussions, and people, you can jump in as well on this, 713-572-4610 on the text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch. We had the conversation yesterday about Tank and Stephon Diggs in terms of where their numbers are, maybe a little bit down than maybe what we thought coming in as well, their yardage and targets. Clearly it is down with the tight end. I believe that the Texans, for this offense to be successful, they're eventually going to need Tank and Stephon Diggs to be playmakers for them. Do you feel the same way about the tight end position? For this offense to be a great offense, do they, and the key word I'm using, need, do they need big production? They need big production from the tight end.
Yes, they need they Dalton Schultz to be a big part of what they do. Absolutely. We talked about this all offseason. Look, here's the truth of the matter. There is nothing that we've seen in the first two ball games that there's nothing that we've seen in the first two ball games that the Texans have played on the offensive side of the football as it pertains to the pass game that has told us anything about who's going to do what, who's going to be productive. You look at all the guys. You mentioned Tank Dell. You mentioned Stephon Diggs. We mentioned Dalton Schultz. None of those guys have the touches that you expected them to have through two ball games. And if you look at Nico Collins, he absolutely has the touches, but half of them came through scramble play, scramble drill. Find a hole, find a weak spot, find a hole, and C.J. Stroud has found him. So there's nothing that's happened this year that we can pull anything from offensively in the pass game about who's going to do what this team looks like. We have yet to see an A-plus game from this team, and a good chunk of that belief or that opinion that I have is because we've yet to see this team have to really lean into C.J. Stroud in this pass game. Whether it's because you run the ball so well against the Colts, there's no need to take the risk, or you can't pass protect, and really you can't do much of anything in the second half against the Bears last year. So the answer is yes, Ron. They need Dalton Schultz to be a big part of what they do if this is going to be a Super Bowl caliber team. Absolutely. But there's no, like, I don't panic based on what I've seen about Dalton, Tank, or Diggs at this point in time. If you watch the games, not you, but just in general, if you watch the games, and there is a very, very obvious reason in both games why there wasn't a whole hell of a lot of production from certain guys.
With the low amount of targets?
Absolutely.
Targets. I would have been like, if you'd have told me Dalton Schultz had 10 targets by himself in two games, like that would have... close to 10 targets, that would have made sense. But this is total. Even that, it doesn't even seem like they've, and I know what you said, the run game was so good, to hell with it. Like, you just keep running that thing, and they struggled, especially in the second half, to protect. But boy, that just, it almost seems like maybe they're taking a back seat in the offense because maybe those other three guys in the receiver position, and when you add Joe Mixon, maybe they're, you know, lesser of a complimentary piece.
Well, you use the term backseat. Week one, they absolutely took a backseat. Every last one of them took a backseat. And you look at that game and you go, I think Nico caught two different balls, at least one I know in a scramble situation. And then he caught an ill-advised throw where C.J. Stroud got impatient and tried to throw it up down the field. I mean, those because if you really look at it, like, nobody's been in scheme as productive as you think they would be in the pass game. Nico has been the guy that's caught the ball out of pocket, out of rhythm, off schedule, and ill-advised throws. And so, I don't know. I just don't pull anything from it. I can't pull anything from either of those games and go, yeah, man, these guys are just, they're going to be lesser of a part of this offense than we expected. I can't lean into any of that yet.
Yeah, I mean, like, someone just texted in here, come on, guys, we have players now all up and down through the lineup. We're just going to feed the poison to the opponents all over the field. As we said, we've said coming into the year, they've got a lot of mouths to feed. And if you just said this is going to be an offense, we're tied in, maybe it's just not as prevalent in the game plan and our tight ends play different. I can see that. There are offenses that do that when they have the wide receivers. But I was just curious if you felt like they needed to have these guys. Like, you know, like in Kansas City right now, and I know some of you hate that, but in Kansas City right now, Travis Kelce, hell, he's got 7 targets on the season in like 39 yards. Clearly, they have to have him to be be at the best that they can possibly be. I just didn't really know if the Texans needed, as you said, Dalton Schultz. He's the lead guy to be as productive or anywhere close to the production that he had last year because of Mixon as a weapon in the run game, and now Tank and Diggs and Nico all around. Maybe in a pinch. Maybe you're a guy that gets 3 to 5 targets a game, and you think he needs to be a big part.
Yeah, I think this is a pass first football team when it's all said and done. I think that Nico obviously is your number one wide receiver. I think everybody's going to have has more of a defined role this year. Diggs is going to be your move guy. It wouldn't shock me at all if Diggs didn't end up having big games from a catch number, not necessarily yardage, but the underneath just number of catches. And I think Tank, I think you hit that on the head. I think there's just Tank is going to play a lot of wide receivers, so he's going to have some numbers, but I think he is going to be, there's going to be his package, if you will, is going to be more of that gadget stuff. That's just the makeup of this wide receiver crew. There's not enough balls to go around. Whether they run it well or not, there's just not enough balls to go around.
All right, coming up, Tyler Milner. He was annoyed by that game last night between the Astros and the Padres. Mm-hmm. And he found himself being talked about on air on a national radio show last night.
Oh, T-Mill, huh?
Yep. T-Mill is firing off messages to people, and they start talking about his ass. And they did. They said, Tyler? They start talking about his ass on national radio. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. We'll keep you updated. The Astros going to try to get this series, win this series tonight in San Diego. It's been an annoying series because our guy Tony Gwynn Jr., he was on with us earlier in the 2 o'clock hour. He said it himself, and he is calling the game for the Padres, and he's watched all of these games in the first 2 games of this series. A poorly officiated, refereed or umpired series, between these two teams thus far in the first 2 games, but been a very, very, very entertaining series. We'll see if they're able to pull this thing out, but it was bad last night from the Profar situation where he was clearly not hit by a pitch, but they went to replay and still said he was, and everybody was shocked to the Altuve foul off his foot that led him to take his entire sock and shoe off and got him ejected to the just awful strike zone all night. Just like I said, the worst thing that happened to umpires is when they put that box up there. But in this case, some of these didn't even have anything to do with the damn box. Some of these, no. I didn't need a box. I could see that was...
Just be consistent, like with what you're calling a strike. If you're calling barely off the plate a strike, do that all game.
Your catchers, both sides, almost could have pulled obliques trying to pull some of those pitches back in into the strike zone that far away. Like, sir, you see where his glove is lined up. He just reached all the way out there to get it. I mean, so it was rough. And Tyler was listening to a little national radio. And I guess, Tyler, would you text in?
No, so I was driving home and I was listening to the program that comes on after Area 45, Bart Winkler. And he started talking about the Altuve thing and that whole situation. And he said something that kind of peeved
me. That's after midnight, folks, if you're scoring at home.
Yeah. But I heard what he said and I tweeted at him. Me and him follow each other. I've never met the guy, but we do follow each other. And so I tweeted at him, and then I got out of the truck at the house, so I didn't even know he said all this, but shout out to Santiago from Area 45. He emailed me this this clip that I think you're about to call for.
Go ahead. Let's hear it. Let's hear what you, because he didn't call you out after you didn't, you didn't tweet it, old Bart. Bart, I'm going to find out who this Bart Winkler fella is. You didn't tweet at him. What? Let me hear what he had to say.
But Altuve, there was at one point, he fouled the ball off his foot, or at least that's what he thought happened. The umpire didn't see it go off his foot, so then he showed the umpire his toe. I mean, at that point, like, what's the umpire going to do? They make the call, and that's the call. Oh, I got to respond to Tyler, our guy Tyler Milner, down at 670.
First and last!
610 in Houston. He says, at Bart Winkler Show, the call was wrong in a critical moment of the game, though. What do you mean the call is the call? What I mean by that is the umpire's not going to correct himself. I'm not saying the call was... clearly, the call was wrong. You can't just be... So when's the gray area? When can we change calls and when can we not? So that's why. We got random ass teams. We had the Diamondbacks go to the World Series.
Yeah, you guys just figured out what a designated hitter is. Congratulations, losers.
Damn, was that?
I don't even know who that
was. That a finish towards you?
Yeah, I don't even know who that guy
is. Who is that guy?
Let's not quite important enough for me to know his name, but
Bart Winkler.
Well, are you sure he was talking to you? Hold on a
yes,
minute
before yes,
you
go. Yes, I listened to the whole segment.
Why'd that guy?
I'm jumping
in?
The gun. He was talking.
What's
to
he
him?
Talking about? Y'all just.
Oh, he probably
DH.
Falls
he
in.
To?
He had other stuff to say too about the Astros being, you know, the typical lazy stuff about Tien and the sign stealing.
I think
and
it's
stuff
this
like
Carlos
that.
Ortiz fella is who I believe this is.
Yeah, I don't know.
You can get the smoke if you want, Carlos.
They brought up the Diamondbacks, random teams. What do they have to do with you?
Could be Marco.
I don't know if that had anything to do with you, Tyler,
I can send you the whole segment if you want, Clint.
Yeah,
I'm with you. Let's get.
You got a lot of guys talking there. I just don't know that I jump the gun.
I do my research, bro.
Hell with you. Jump it. Jump it. Hell with it. Jump it.
I only say things with my chest when I know for sure.
Jump it, baby. Damn, man. He says you're first and last. Tyler Milner. Then he says 670. Come on, man. Chicago.
You got the wrong station. That's okay.
He cleaned it up.
Yeah. Shout out Santiago for sending me that. Might have to fire off a few more tweets tonight, you know? Might see what happens.
Look, it was bad. It was bad last night, and I do agree with Tony. It was bad last night for both teams to you've never seen this. I mean, they were both teams were legitimately pissed at the outcome of a review. Like that one's hard to get to. Both of them were ticked off with the outcome of a review. It was rough last night. And I said it earlier, Clint. Like they should have their ability to umpire any postseason games. They should have them ripped away. To be honest, they should be forced to just follow the White Sox.
Just
umpire the White Sox games only. Because those games clearly don't matter, and even their umpiring doesn't matter what happens to them. I think that's what they should be forced to do. Yeah, Padres, hell, stay there. That's who the White Sox have next. Just stay in San Diego. You can have them do the Padres, then go to L.A. What they do the Angels and Tigers. Those are worthless, meaningless games if the Tigers are charging. But, I mean, it was just rough last night.
I don't know how, to me, it is – I don't know how we're in 2024 Major League Baseball and we can't review whether a ball went off the top of somebody's foot or not. Like if you got an ego, an umpire behind the plate with an ego where he didn't want to ask for help, like that shouldn't hold the process up. If there's a question, did the ball go off of his foot before it entered live play? Then look at it. If it did, boom, get it right and let's move. The fact that we're literally sitting there going, well, the guys in the field, they can't answer any questions unless they're prompted by the home plate umpire who has already stood his ground and made the call. Like, it just...
Blum said it best. In that situation, you are a professional Major League Baseball umpire. You have to ask for help.
Yeah, but...
You have to ask for help.
You don't have to.
The thing is, Major League Baseball doesn't require that. Like, no. Right? That if you're
well, especially
major,
when that orange team is playing.
If you're Major League Baseball, there has to be a rule. It's very simple. If a batter fouls a ball off of his... hits a ball off of his foot and it enters fair play... and there's any question, take a peek at the monitor. It's not like that happens. It's not like that situation happens twice a game. It happens once in a blue moon. I think we've seen it. I've seen it, I think, two or three times this year with the Astros. Hell, I think two of them are Altuve, actually. Like, it's silly.
No, and then some of them are, like you said, this prideful cats. Like Joe West. Joe West is a, I don't need no help guy. It should, like, the third base umpire or first base umpire should just be able to walk up and not,
Hey, Bob, I had a
great look at it. I wasn't looking through the right-handed hitter in the box in front of me through a face mask and trying to decipher balls and strikes.
I had a clear view of his front foot.
You down the third baseline are looking to see if somebody has gone too far and easily could see that happened right in front of you. Like, it shouldn't be just sit down there.
It's amateur hour, dude.
I'm only spoken. But it's what they have done forever.
The call is the call.
Until you need help. Like, I bet you right now, like, I'd like for him to have to come to the press conference. Third base hump. Did you see that? Did you see that hit his foot? Yes. How come you didn't come in and say nothing?
His foot. He took his sock off.
Yeah.
Not the protocol.
I don't. Back to the audio, Tyler, where the guys brought your tweet up.
Yeah.
I don't think Altuve's actions were to get the call overturned. Like, at that point, I think it was, that's plum-ass silly. Let me match your silliness by taking my shoe and my sock off and showing you exactly where it hit. Like, I don't think...
he completely lost it.
But no, he lost, but I don't think it was like, hey, man...
Sounds like 13th bad call.
Let me yank this sock off and see if this guy will overturn what he just did. Like, I don't...
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, I think it was more out of frustration of how stupid can you guys be? How silly can this be? Well, hell with it. Like you said, if I were a coach and there were some of these calls we see on Sundays and Saturdays, I would, knowing how silly I would look, I would go sit on the numbers and force them to physically remove me from the field before I let them start. I would know it was silly. I know the umpire referee's not going to go, oh, well, because this guy's being an idiot, let me change my call. I know, but I'm going to call it. Like, that is so silly, we're going to bring attention to this ignorance.
Yeah. I'm taking the basketball. Yes. We're not going to play anymore.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm holding on to it until we get this thing done.
Mm.
Clear.
Just be better. Like, come on. This is professional baseball.
Some of our friend on the show, Melissa, she texted.
Uh-oh.
T-mail,
be careful, Tyler.
T-mail now feels how I did when y'all called me out. LOL, Melissa.
And I appreciate you, Melissa, but I do think these are a little bit different circumstances.
Yeah.
Just a little.
His makes more sense.
You can't just... why can't you just say, I appreciate you, Melissa?
Because I don't want to encourage people to...
I just want to make sure you get it right. As we're talking about...
Believe falsities.
We want to make sure we get it right.
Yeah. Professionals.
There's a very clear difference between Melissa's situation and this one.
Hey, what's that bar you hang out in Heights?
Don't tell it.
McIntyre's. Mm-hmm. Hey, Melissa, you want to beef this thing out with Tyler? He'll be at Matt.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between.
Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
McIntyre's. probably three of the next four nights.
Would you just drop by during the week?
Yeah, just slide by during the week.
Maybe around nine-ish.
If there's that old gray Ford out there with them gig, with that giggle stuff in the back, in the back window.
Sheesh.
What happened?
I haven't already had my truck broken into twice at that location, brother. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Wow.
Jeez. What a turd you are. Well, that might land you on the damn turd list.
He may leave his backpack in there again. He's got maroon money.
Wow.
I'd look forward to hearing it.
Doubling down.
Yeah, wow, man. You go give his license plate number?
I'm just letting Melissa know, man.
What, you go give his social?
She's got some real beef that she needs to work out with
Tyler. Melissa.
It seemed like she was dead ass.
He said that great.
Jeez, dude.
He said that great.
That's actually all kind of charcoal, man. It's not like
with that giggle.
You want my VIN number?
I'll get that license plate number. I'll look out that window over there. We'll have him throwing eggs at you in the highway.
Give me a second, guys. Give me a second. We got 45 seconds. Let me get down there. And also, if he doesn't, if it's not that vehicle, the second vehicle, you might want to take a look at.
It's not a yellow Hummer.
This could be the backup one. No. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, the general manager, Nick Caserio, he joins the show, as well as a guy who's having a hell of a start to this year, Henry Toa Toa. So stay tuned for that. Also behind them, Area 45. And I see the boys are behind me. Sean looks good. Hey, looks real good. Sean and PC, they'll have it for you coming up behind us. Chris Santiago as well. Area 45, 8 to midnight, live and local till midnight. So stay tuned for that. Shout out to Tony Gwynn Jr. Shout out to, if you're on YouTube and Twitch, you can see him, B. Scott, as well as C.J. Stroud, who was sort of on the show today. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
I'm really torn because I do think it's better than Big Game Hunter Brown. I do think it's better, but I don't know if it's original enough. What if we called him like the Cummins? That's a diesel engine.
Yeah, you should have just voted no.
That was our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. The Cummins.
Big Peter Bilt.
Just one look at you.
What is going on?